and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here with Ben and Eddie.
Hello.
And Kirk.
Hello.
Yet again, no Pete tonight.
Three times in a row.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes, it's three. But he has apologised. I mean, this time he's got a bit more of a legit excuse. His technical issues have been sorted, but unfortunately he has migraine.
He's got body technical issues now.
Yeah, body wow. tech. So
to be fair, he actually joined for the prep, so you know that's better than the last 2 weeks.
You know what? He needs to go to the chop shop in Cyberpunk.
Yeah, when I said body tech, I immediately thought Cyberpunk.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And he loved Cyberpunk, didn't he? He was all over it. So
he was all into it. Yeah.
Okay, you know it's not real, don't you?
What?
Sorry.
Oh, nothing, buddy. You carry on.
Right, anyway. right, we will be going through the news, of which there's plenty this week. New releases, what we've been playing, which includes... I mean, it's a banger this week. We've got Forza Horizon 5. We've got Battlefield 2042. We've got Football Manager. There's just been a shit ton coming out this week, so we've played them all. And then the feature, we just wrapped up watching the Xbox anniversary event, actually.
Yeah,
so,
boy.
So we're recording this straight afterwards. So some pretty big Halo Infinite multiplayer news that we'll go over. But we'll talk about the event in general and what we thought about it. But let's move on then. So to the news, Kirk, do you want to start us?
Oh shit! One second. Just got to scroll down.
I'm glad you said that because I'm not on the right bit either.
Okay.
How professional?
Professional podcasting.
Right. Cool. So I'm reporting on Forza Horizon 5 again this week. So Forza Horizon 5 surpasses 8 million players. This is according to GameBolt.com. Forza has been having such a fantastic time as of late. And following on from a story I reported on last week, if you remember correctly, there were 800,000 people that had like the early access for it. Well, the total amount of players of the game since its release on the 9th has gone over 8 million. That's huge. That's a lot of players. So it's worth noting that this is the total amount of players that people have actually connected to the servers and at least played once. So we don't know what concurrent players are, but you know, I would argue that it's the biggest game on the Xbox right now, and without doubt. So you're going to have a lot of people kind of going on. I've been playing it most of the week, to be honest with you, and it's been fantastic for me. Also, last week, Phil Spencer tweeted, and quote, "We've invested for years in Xbox so more people can play. With 4.5 million plus players so far across PC, cloud and console, Forza Horizon 5 shows that promise coming to life. Largest launch day Xbox game for Xbox Game Studio..." I fucked that up, didn't I? Largest launch day Xbox Game
Studio. Keep running, Kirk.
Game.
Keep running.
Because Ben doesn't want to cut.
Keep going, buddy.
Peak concurrent three times Forza Horizon 5 4 high. Thank you, players, and congrats to Playground Games. So obviously that was 4.5 million, and that was, I think the tweet was, I think it was like Thursday or Friday last week. So in over the course of the weekend, there's been another 3.5 million players. Like that's insane.
It's basically been gaining a million a day, isn't it?
Yeah. Like it literally has. Now I don't know what you guys know about this, but Microsoft don't normally give out numbers on anything that they do. Stopped doing that a long time ago. Unlike Sony, who will go, "Oh, we've sold X amount of PlayStation 5s this month or today, blah, 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 blah."
Are you hating on Sony?
No, not hating.
Yeah, for everyone listening, we're not an Xbox Pro podcast. I mean, we are called Grumpy Game Pass in jest. But yeah, still,
because we love of how much Pass, we but... love Xbox.
Yes.
But no, it's Sony do like to throw their weight around with their numbers, and it's fair because they do have a lot of impressive numbers, but
because they have better numbers, yes.
Yeah. Microsoft stopped that a long time ago because they realized they were dismal
because they
in comparison
worse numbers. Worse numbers. It's understandable they don't quote numbers when they're worse than the competition.
But I love the fact that they've obviously done it for this because that is a huge number, and I think like that is it's a hard thing to gauge properly with how the gaming kind of world is now, with the fact that a lot of these people would have been playing on Game Pass. Like you, Ben, you and I would have been two players on that list, but we haven't paid for it. we've been doing it via Game Pass. Whereas yeah. other people would have actually bought the game via a digital key, or whether they bought it physically or something. So we don't know what the numbers are in that sense, but these are still big numbers, and it's fucking impressive. So I was going to ask you, do you think that Xbox is now starting to come into its own with this?
I think that Forza is the first real showcase of what Game Pass can do.
Yeah, I agree.
This isn't something to... I don't know the answer to this, but something says to me that 8 million players within a week, that's one of the best games ever for that type, for numbers only. Not for revenue generation or anything like that, because it's come from Game Pass, but for number of players... number of new users to start a game. It's one of the biggest games ever, surely. 8 million players.
Yeah,
it's a lot of people. That's absolutely mental. So this is a huge showcase. It's also one of the first actual Xbox exclusives from one of their own studios mm-hmm. during this new era. It's smashing it. And it's understandable.
I was going to say, just to put that in perspective, that's 8 million players. Let's just assume, if you just assume that at least 7 million of them are Game Pass subscribers, because obviously it was almost a million that had done early access. Let's just say the rest were Game Pass subscribers. Yes. We know that there is over 18 million subscribers to the service. That was as of January 2021. So
yes.
We're now near the end of the year. God knows how many it is now. But that's... that's just, again, just throwing numbers out. If it's they're at 25 million now, that's a huge chunk of their subscribers that are playing this. Mm.
Yes, absolutely.
And
you're bang on. And obviously, we're going to talk about the Xbox event later on. But the big news from that was that Halo Infinite multiplayer is out today as of the 15th. And this supports this. I mean, this is in the point of this is Game Pass is massively growing, and to make Game Pass get more, if they just release that at the same time as the campaign, I don't think Game Pass would get the massive hit that it will by having a free-to-play multiplayer a month ahead of schedule. And then having Game Pass, and then having the campaign follow in the back end, because then people will get Game Pass just to play the campaign.
Yeah.
So I think Game Pass is going from strength to strength. Obviously, games like Forza and Halo are just, this is gold for Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, it's there too. Like Forza, Gears, and Halo are like, in my mind, the big three for Microsoft. They always have been. Those are the franchises that have really helped
Gears in the past, but now a new Gears comes out and it really goes kind of under the radar. You know, the last Gears, I didn't even play it.
Oh, Gears 5. Yeah. Gears 5 was the last one, and that was a huge hit when it came out. But you got to remember, that was out before the Series S and X as well.
I think you've probably got to temper the phrase huge hit. I don't think it was a huge hit. I think, you know, people played it and it was probably the biggest game on Game Pass, but at the time, but I don't think it was a huge hit. I'm just saying that the franchise has gone downhill. It's not the force it once was. Let's just put it like that. But Forza and Halo absolutely are, and they're releasing both of them coming into the year end. And if they want to have numbers by the end of 2021 that are showing huge Game Pass build.
Yeah,
this is the way to do it.
Those stakeholders are going to be going, ah, so this is what is happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's starting to come to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely. And there has to be a critical mass where Game Pass... I mean, we obviously don't know whether Game Pass is profitable, whatever, but there has to be a number that they're trying to get to where they go, from this point, this makes money.
Mm. Yeah.
And at the moment, it may not be making any money. But they're getting closer to that more than ever. Now we're going to start to see over the next year.
I was going to say, Xbox, actually, you say that money thing. I mean, they made about 85 million from the pre-sales, didn't they, on Forza? So that's the game paid for already.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. When you've got 800,000 people paying, 800,000 people were paying. I don't. I don't know who got that for free and who was actually paying for it and also what the price they paid for it, but God, they earned a lot of money from that, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's brilliant. I mean, this is just good news. I mean, this is good news for gaming because the more people that know about Xbox and Game Pass, the more people that support Game Pass and download those games and get involved, the more games will come to Game Pass as a result.
Yeah.
And it's just great for us. You know, it saves the cost for us, and it's just an incredible service.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The one thing I took away from this is I didn't know that many people liked Zoomy Zoomy Broom Broom games.
Well, the thing is, Eddie, you shit stir and shit, is it's more of an open world.
Look, we're going to talk about game. This in what we've been playing.
Yeah.
Do you know Eddie what? Is just, I'm happy. Don't rise yeah. to him. Don't rise
to him. No, I'm going time. To go. We don't have time for yours, sorry.
Yeah, no. We've got a long show ahead of us, right?
Yeah, pace yourself, Kurt. It's a marathon, not a sprint, buddy. Right, my news for the week then is about the GTA trilogy. So the GTA trilogy came out last week, and it's got off to a really, really rocky start. Have you guys seen this?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, some people are calling this worse than Cyberpunk's launch. I think that might be slightly stretched, but across platforms, it's got an average user Metacritic score of 0.5.
That's not good.
It's not a large score, but it is suffering from review bombing, absolutely. So just a couple of things that have gone on. So the trilogy, which is GTA 3, Vice City and San Andreas, that was released on all platforms last week. Now, on Game Pass, they released the San Andreas game only. So that was one that I think Kirk and I dipped into this week, so we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But the PC version of it has actually already been pulled. It's already been pulled down off the internet, off the Rockstar kind of download player. And I think that people that have bought the game, they've also pulled access to the game for those people. So if you've bought the game on PC, you cannot play the game.
Oh, so this is Fallout all over again.
So you cannot play it, and when you ask for a refund, they say, please fill in this form over there.
That's a fucking joke.
Jeez.
Yes, so they haven't given refunds out yet, and, I mean, they're obviously protected legally somewhere, because otherwise it's just stealing. Somebody's bought something and you're not allowing them access. So they're obviously protected somewhere legally in the download and in the T's and C's or whatever, but... That's insane. Now, the reason, or the rumoured reason for why that is, and Kirk may have a bit more insight into this, so the hot coffee minigame.
Why me?
You're a bit more of that type of guy. Hot coffee minigame from San Andreas is still in the source code. So for those that don't know, again, Kirk, keep me honest here.
Yeah,
Kirk. Mate, yeah. I don't remember that scene.
I keep
what
you honest, Kirk.
What happened, Kirk?
So, I think it's...
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, of course you don't. it's basically, I think, a sex game in one of the strip clubs or something. It was in the source code of the original San Andreas game. So if you had a modded PS2, you could play this sex game.
Okay, I'm just looking it up now. I do not remember this at all, but if it's I can see.
You can plead all the ignorance you want. I'll do the story, buddy, then. Don't worry about it. It's an unfortunate sex game. Now, this slipped under the ratings board and all that kind of stuff because people didn't know it was in the game. But then it kind of got unveiled. Now, at the time, I think Rockstar had to... They had lawsuits. They had to pull the game. They had to recall the game from shelves. They had to, you know, issue new discs and stuff. And they had to, you know, basically sort it all out. Because that was back in the game where you couldn't just release an update and write it out of the game on everyone's consoles. Mm-hmm. They had to actually just, you know, sell different discs, I think, with a new game on it. Now, that somehow is still in the game.
That's fucking nuts. How has that happened?
Yeah, that's in the game. Now, not to mention just that, they've also left notes from the development team are in the source code. I think there was one which said, like, where somebody said, like, put this at the fucking start of the mission or something like that. Like, I think there were like notes tied in and stuff like that.
No.
And so anyway, the game has been pulled from PC. But in general, the move to Unreal Engine, I think, has caused a number of bugs, and I'll just go into that slightly. So there are frame rate issues, especially on the Switch version, which Grand Theft Auto 3, I think, when you're driving, is like basically unplayable. A lot of hate towards the look of the character models, and that, I believe, is because they used an AI to remaster the character models. So what it did was look at the old character models, and then like the AI would then HD them and change things, but it wouldn't necessarily recognize like where someone's top ended and their neck started. They might make a character bigger, but then the steering wheel that they're operating is no bigger, so their hands don't touch the steering wheel anymore. And characters just look weird because they haven't actually been made. They've actually been kind of made through an AI. An AI to HD it. That's happened. People a lot of hate towards that. There's a lot of popping. I mean, I was watching the Switch version, and this you're driving along. This is Vice City, driving along, and then about 30 meters ahead of you, a car just appears, like swerving out the way. Like, is mental. The real issue here is something that you mentioned the other week, Kirk, when you said that they pulled the originals off Steam and stuff, hadn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they did.
Now, and I said at the time, like, well, that's kind of understandable because they want to release this new game and kind of get it. But they've released a remaster, which appears to be, in a fair few people's eyes, worse than the original. The mods that have all gone with the originals that were previously there, so that's not there. So the remaster just can't compensate for what was previously available to consumers. Now, not to piss on it too much, the weapon wheel, they've added that. It's a great addition. They've had a lot of quality of life issues. That when you fail a mission, you can restart very quickly, stuff like that. But the point is, these remasters, and the reason it's being review bombed, they just appear very, very lazy. Yeah. It appears to be they've done the absolute bare minimum to get these out the door.
I was going to say, when you said, I didn't know that they'd used AI to remodel the characters.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense, because if there was an artist actually doing it, they wouldn't have fucked up like that. That's like, you can't make an old model look worse in a newer environment. It's just like, with what they were doing, that's ridiculous. So I was just gonna say, with your laziness comment, what the fuck have they been doing?
Yeah, Rockstar don't even make video games anymore.
No, they don't. No, like, they just literally print fucking money, don't they?
Yeah, what have they been doing? Like,
fuck's sake.
I mean, they haven't released a good video game in years.
Yeah, no, that's I think this is really, really fucking bad, in the sense I know we're going to talk about it later, but I was quite excited for this because I have very good memories with the original with the GTA trilogy. They spoke to me in a way like that was, you know, it was fun. It was just open world fun game, and do whatever you want, fuck around, you know, and just have a blast. And considering everything that they've done, or what they claim they've done, they've sold it well, but they've fucked it. They've not stuck the landing, and now we're all paying for it because of their mistake. And there's nothing to revert back to, which is worst thing.
I would qualify. I don't think we'll talk about this now because we've played San Andreas, and I don't think we need to go into it too much in what we've been playing or whatever. Because I know we've both touched on it this week on Game Pass, but. The thing with these remasters is they never said it was going to be anything more than they've delivered. I know they've done a pretty shoddy job. Now, let's not, like, even when it rains in the game, like, the rain is supposedly the worst rain in video games. Like, it slows the frame rate. You can't see anything. It's, like, impossible to drive. Like, the rain is, like, shards. It's terrible.
How have they done that? You've literally, Even Cyberpunk had better frame rate when you played it on the next gen consoles, and it was just the power of the consoles. How the fuck is a 20-year-old game not able to keep a consistent frame rate?
I mean, they have changed it to Unreal Engine, and that's the big thing. Now, but like, when I was playing San Andreas, I thought this is an old fucking game.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And I think a lot of people have gone into this and they're expecting a lot more than was possible. Now, I'm not saying they've done a good job. I'm saying it's pretty bad. But for it to get review bombed to a 0.5 on Metacritic is just obscene. I mean, this might be a 6 out of 10. Sure. Or it might be a 6.5 or whatever. But behind it, there are three good core games that people loved. However, when you go back, they look wank and they control like garbage and they are quite dated. But they're still some of the best games ever made.
But isn't that the idea of this new game? So that it isn't, so people don't feel that way and they can play it again. That's why I'm so excited for the KOTOR.
You can only do so much for it. But KOTOR is a remake.
Yeah, right. KOTOR's a proper remake. This is just a nice look of paint
Eddie's actually made a great point there, because it's that distinction between remake and remaster that we've been over, that a lot of people... Yes, you should improve quality of life, you should improve a lot of things and give it a nice coat of paint and it's great and stuff, but if you're just doing a remaster, how much can you fucking do?
It's the controls and stuff, but what they if they actually wanted to do something better with this game, the stuff like you pop in and just the textures and the character models, all that kind of stuff, if they actually put some effort into it, I can't see that being too much of a problem. I reckon what's happened is they just wanted to make a quick buck. Like, they've handed this off to another studio. I can't remember who the studio is, but they...
Grove Street Games.
Yeah, Grove Street Games. I reckon they've done the bare minimum, and they've probably been paid... I mean, obviously, they've been paid what they've been paid to do it, and they've done what they can with the time and resources that they've got. But it's just a quick cash-in for Rockstar,
on the head with cash and resources that they've got. So... I do think the conversation would have probably gone like this. We need more time. We need more cash.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
And Rockstar say, no, we want this out for Christmas.
Yeah. Which is fucking it's fucking stupid. And obviously we got the announcement of when it was going to come out really late as well, didn't we?
Like it was like they announced it and they went, yeah, and it's out in November. What?
Yeah.
What, that quickly?
Man, I'm not happy. I'm not happy about it personally. I think it's left a sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the absolute minimum they should do with these are change the controls so you can actually play it and change the look so it's actually bearable. That should be literally the minimum that...
Changed a lot of the controls, which is good, like the... Gunplay, the driving, they've added a weapon wheel, and obviously the mission restart stuff. That's good. So that's perfectly commendable. The problem with Rockstar games in my eyes is that they are so bad when moving your character. Like it's horrible. It's the worst. And they've kept that from these games right through to Red Dead 2. Like, they cannot design a character that walks. Yeah. It is fucking
disgusting.
Including
Red Dead 2. Including Red Dead.
Red Dead 2. Jesus wept. Like, that game, furious.
Absolute shite game.
Let's
do you know what?
It's
actually
one
of the worst games I've ever played.
Worst game. I've got a friend of the show, a guy called Ross. He fucking hates it too. I mean, he does. Every actual gamer fucking hates it. He's not an actual gamer, but actual gamers fucking hate it.
I haven't got words. I haven't got enough words for Red Dead.
No, hang on. I'm going to do a little positive spin here, even though I am normally the one that goes hell-bent for criticising developers. This could be a good thing, because Rockstar have been kind of untouchable, the fact that they haven't released a game in so long.
And yeah, they've just been doing GTA 5 online.
Yeah. The fact that they just keep on fucking rebranding everything. This could be good. This could be making them not untouchable anymore. This could make them go, holy shit, I think we need to actually create a game, and we need to make it a good game.
Yeah. But last week didn't, or the week before, didn't we talk about GTA 6 possibly being trouble?
Yeah. But that's what I mean. I mean, the rumor was from that blokey from the magazine, wasn't it? But I mean, by the sounds of it, even if that story is true, then that sounds like they're not putting resources into it anyway. It sounds like they've got a tiny little team and they're not really giving a shit about it. This could be that, like, their reputation has now been fucking dragged across the floor. So they might actually think, holy shit, we need to actually come up with something banging now.
Yeah, and on that note, I mean, we've had CD Projekt Red. We've now had Rockstar. I mean, who's next? Like, we had some Untouchable Studio. I mean, Naughty Dog, are they the next Untouchable Studio?
Yeah, when they
up?
Release their multiplayer...
Last of Us, it's absolutely gash. No, whatever they do is wonderful. They are untouchable until they do something terrible. I do think this is a mixture of a couple of things. I think they've done, as Kirk said, they have not stuck the landing with this at all. People have review bombed it overly too much. I think the expectation on this was way too much. I think, and when you go back to Meet Your Hero, I think oftentimes it's just a sad old man. Yeah, it's not what you expect. So it's just a sad old man. Yeah, but right, Eddie, what's your new story?
What the fuck was that? All right, okay. My new story is Xbox boss discusses the Elder Scrolls 6 exclusivity. There you go, that's a big word for me. In an interview with GQ for the Xbox 20th anniversary, Xbox boss Phil Spencer commented on the acquisition of Bethesda parent company ZeniMax Media last year of a historic $7.5 billion, so only a little bit. Since then, the company's next big title, Starfield, has been confirmed as Xbox and PC only. Spencer says he sees the same for The Elder Scrolls 6. So he said in this interview, it's not about punishing any other platform. Like, I fundamentally believe all of the platforms can continue to grow. But in order for Xbox, I want us to be able to bring the full, complete package of what we have. And that would be true when I think about Elder Scrolls 6. That would be true when I think about any of our franchises. I brought this to the table because, obviously, I love the Elder Scrolls. I love everything kind of games with Bethesda. And it made me think, like, I mean, for a start, is this a tactical decision? But and the reason why I ask that is because if I found out that Elder Scrolls 6 was coming out next week on PlayStation, even though I have a next gen Xbox, I would probably buy a PlayStation.
With Phil Smith, I don't know how many times it has to be said that Bethesda games are only coming on Xbox. Yeah.
No,
and PC.
They're only coming to wherever Game Pass lives.
Yeah, Xbox and PC, but But well, it's not about punishing platforms, like you said, it's about lording it. this is the game changer of buying Bethesda, isn't it, Eddie? I mean, this is absolutely. I mean, if Elder Scrolls was coming out on PlayStation only, you'd buy a PlayStation. Mm-hmm. But it's coming out on Xbox only. Absolutely. So you buy an Xbox. Like, it's amazing that these articles are still coming out, I think. What do you think, Kirk?
I think it's He's said what he said a long time ago, and it's just reaffirming what he said before. It's all these games. You got to be a fucking moron to think that anything that was bought, that was under the Bethesda umbrella is going to come out on anything else anymore. It's just not going to happen.
Hang on, there are games that are
currently any games that had a contract prior to their purchase will still be honored.
Right. Okay.
Like Deathloop. Definitely was the last one.
Yeah, but there is nothing else coming in the pipeline. Like, so Starfield that's been announced for how long? That was announced, was it E3 2017, 18 or something? Yeah,
they weren't sure whether that had a deal, but it doesn't. So it's pure Xbox.
You would have expected that to have come out on the PlayStation and on the Xbox and obviously PC or whatever. But then obviously when Xbox bought Bethesda, they confirmed that it was only going to be on the Xbox. Now that's a game that people are hyped shit for, but it's not coming to anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So why would any other game come to anything else?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there'll still be PlayStation fans out there who just have a PlayStation who are hoping that some deal will be done, but it won't be. Like, this is the whole point of why they've bought them. I mean, as you said, Eddie, if it was on PlayStation only, you'd buy a PlayStation.
Yeah.
See. Because it is a console seller. As long as it doesn't come out to shit like Cyberpunk or something.
Yeah.
But you can't be sure with any of these games now. I mean, Starfield, there's a good chance that'll be crap.
I mean,
it's going to be delayed to 2023. Easy.
Yeah.
Fallout 76 was an absolute travesty, wasn't it? So.
Yes. Yes. Like, when Fallout 76 came out, I was like, oh, it's a new Fallout game. Maybe I'll get into Fallout. Oh, this would be great. And no, it's just tragic. Yeah. And that, I think Fallout 76 is probably the first of the huge gaming developers to
fuck up massively.
Release a new game in its franchise to just fuck it up.
Yeah.
They're going to give Xbox, Phil Spencer will give studios that are under the Xbox umbrella time if they need it. We've already seen that with Halo. And other big franchises. 7.5 billion for a fucking company. You think that they're going to say no, get this out the door when you said you're going to get it out? No, they're going to give them the time if they need it, and people will just understand, because at the end of the day, gamers do understand. They get frustrated, sure, and it's annoying, sure, but what do you want? A shit game on release, or do you want something that's actually decent?
That's why Cyberpunk's kind of bent the curb on that one. I used to think, you know, oh, I fucking hate it when they're, but after seeing Cyberpunk, I think it's just all about how well they do it. Like, we've seen games. What game was it recently? I'm so bad with these short memory things. Where they delayed it by like 3 months, and everyone was upset on day one, but then everyone forgot, and then when it came around again, everyone was excited. But then Cyberpunk delayed it for like a week, and it was everyone went mental.
Oh, they delayed it for a month, didn't they? And everyone went absolutely mental.
Yeah, like death threats and shit.
Yeah, but going back to. Yeah, Kirk's point of Phil Spencer will give them time. Like, that was a big comment there.
He's the fucking head of Xbox, mate.
Do you think that if you suck Phil Spencer off enough, he will follow us on Twitter?
Jesus. What the fuck?
Is that where you've gone with this?
Shit.
I don't think Phil Spencer.
I think you're wrong. I don't think you realise his position under the Xbox umbrella.
I do, but they gotta make money, man. They
no.
Got- Okay. All right, he's that important to you? No, but I know, but I'm just saying that they're a company at the end of the day. Like, all of these companies, we've just seen with Rockstar, like, pushing out this game early. Like, nothing's safe. Nothing is safe. I know they've given Halo the extra time, but that's as soon as they give Halo some extra time, they might as well give it a year. Like, I just don't think... we're in an era now, and it's very unfortunate, and we're going to talk about it and what we've been playing... of games being released not in a fit state.
Fair.
And I hope you're right. I really, really hope you're right. But there's no... like, you can't put Phil Spencer and Xbox on a pedestal for like, yeah, they will give them time. No, because if Game Pass isn't making money, you've got to get those fucking games out. You know, it's...
Just wait and see, mate, all right?
All right, okay.
So keep your ear to the ground.
So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Starfield will unfortunately, and I want it to be great, unfortunately, bomb.
No, I think it's gonna be the opposite.
I think it's gonna be good, yeah, because of Fallout 76 being shot.
Late 2023 at the earliest.
Late 2023.
Yeah.
What, a year later?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, Christ. Okay. Oh, yeah. If we give it an extra year, it's a fucking ambitious
project.
Okay.
It's an ambitious project. There's absolutely no way in hell it's coming out when they said it is. And, you know,
they said a specific date.
Yeah.
I know it was like an anniversary date or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the anniversary of Elder Scrolls or something. 10 years since Elder Scrolls or that kind of thing. But, yeah. Look, we'll find out in a year, won't we? And we can. We get the listeners to come back and listen, tell us, you know, who was right, who was wrong, and say, fuck you, Ben.
Yeah, well, no, I want Starfield to be amazing. I definitely do. I'd never want a game to be bad. I just feel like we're in this era where things are... Everything's being rushed. Everyone's trying to win money. Everyone's trying to win a battle that... I just wish they give things more time, and I really hope you're right. And if there's one company that can give it more time, it's Xbox and Microsoft, because they've got fucking oodles of it.
And Daddy Phil.
And Daddy Spencer, he's such a good...
Daddy's a great, great guy. Daddy Phil is a great guy.
Love Daddy.
Daddy Phil. Love Daddy
if
Phil.
If we know Phil, and I think we do, Big Phil dog. He's going to give him extra time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Right. and that's the
is
news.
That the end of the news?
That's the end of the news. So should we move on to the new releases, Eddie?
Oh, shit. Right, yeah. For some reason, I completely forgot about this section.
Okay, good.
Right, first one. Next Space Rebels, coming out on Xbox and PC, November 17th. This one is... Space is for everyone. In Next Space Rebels, you will develop from a naive rocket hobbyist into the experienced space activist by designing, building, and launching rockets of increasing complexity. It looks like a building rocket simulator, but there are like cutscenes and things like that, so it's an actual game. You seen this one?
Yeah, I have seen it. I saw it a while ago, and it's like Kerbal. Is it Kerbal?
Yeah, Kerbal Space Program.
But
yeah,
but not. Not like cartoony Kerbal.
Exactly.
It's
yep.
Yeah, I thought it looked quite good when I saw it a while ago.
Yeah, it looks like it goes into actual like really fine details of like how to build the rockets and stuff and all sorts of engineering. We've seen a lot of these engineering kind of aspects in games recently. I'm not mad.
There's
at
a couple
it.
Of baby dolls on one of them. That's a bit dark, isn't it?
Say that
Why
again.
Why'd you put fucking baby dolls on a rocket?
Well, I don't know, Kirk.
That's what I've seen. That's what I can see, okay?
Do we know if this is... I assume it's not, but is it coming to Game Pass at all?
I haven't seen anything.
It's a possible Game Pass game, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
It's on the 17th, so we'll find out soon enough. But
I haven't seen it on the list of games coming to Game Pass soon, so...
Fair enough.
Rocket League Season 5 coming out. That one's for you there, Kirk. New season. Apparently there's a Starbase arc with it, but with all these new seasons, it's just a complete waste of time and just bring out new cars, isn't it?
Do you follow the seasons at all, Kirk?
I did when I started playing, and it was like what I played constantly. But do you know what? I haven't touched Rocket League for about a week and a half.
Ooh.
And it's because I'm playing other stuff now. I've got other games that are taking my attention.
You've got other
away.
broomy games.
Yeah, I've got other broomy games, yeah. No, I'll jump in with the new season and just see what it's about. But at the end of the day, that's one of those games I'll just jump back into every so often. But now that Xbox is starting to have, you know, actually good games coming out, My focus is elsewhere. So
I reckon
we've had a lot of games to play, haven't we?
So right now, yes. Rocket League is my game that I just jump on like on my lunch break or whatever. But yeah. I reckon Battlefield could overtake that. Once me and the guys stop like leveling up together, I think that could be my little jump on and play game. But
really,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So next one. Shame Pete's not here for this. I actually kept this one in for Pete. Warhammer Age of Sigmar and Tempest Fall. Coming out November 17th on PC VR. So it's an action-adventure game set in the Games Workshop or Warhammer universe. And it's a VR game, so it looks fucking awesome. I've seen videos of it. I would definitely get a VR set for this.
I thought it looked bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I assume it's available on Oculus on Quest.
Yeah, I was gonna say Oculus, isn't it?
I thought if you're into this, I mean, even if you're not into Warhammer, like, this looked bloody good to me.
Yeah, I think that's the route the game developers who make Warhammer games go down the direction of they need to appeal to other people as well, which is great because this game really looks like it.
VR don't have a huge amount of great games.
No.
They've got good games on VR, but I think it's hard to find some really good ones. But this certainly looks like it could be. Mm.
Yeah, I'm just glad that the catalog's getting bigger because I remember saying to you ages ago, like 2 years ago, Ben, that I love the idea of VR, but there's just no games there that make...
There's no reason, is there? There's no reason to have it.
Especially when it's so expensive. You know, like...
Yes.
If it's a good reason to get something, I'll spend any sort of money on, like fucking Battlefield this week. But, you know, like when there's not really a good catalog worth of games, then... It's kind of no point.
I do think you're right, because I had a PSVR and I eventually traded it in because I just wasn't playing it, because there isn't that next big hitter. Now, there have been some very good ones like Half-Life Alyx, which I didn't play because I traded it in by that time. Like, there have been some great games. Yeah. Like, that was in Game of the Year contention. Yeah. It was a VR game, which is mental.
Darth Vader one was supposed to be amazing as well.
Yeah, Vader Immortals, that was cool. Mm. But ultimately, they're very short experiences.
Yeah.
And there was like a heist. They're good.
They put Resident Evil 7 Resident into it, didn't they?
Yes, the Resident Evil 7 and Resident Evil 4 just got a VR game. Like, there are some good games, but I think you're bang on, Eddie, because you've probably got a selection of 10 games.
Yeah.
And that's pretty... And let's say you're not getting a PR... And the biggest thing that puts me off VR is that VR games are not available on all VR platforms. So you may get a game that comes out and it's not available on PSVR... and Oculus. It may just be on Oculus. Like this game, Warhammer, I think this is just on Oculus and it's not on PSVR. Like, that puts me off. Like, there's not enough games.
Just like Starfield's not going to be on the PlayStation.
Absolutely. But there's not enough games that are VR and good to go around, and you're already limiting it on platform. And it just, I don't know, like, you have to get an Oculus, you've got to spend hundreds of pounds. It's just,
yeah.
Is there really a point?
Yeah, I mean, if you're concerned about spending money on something, then
well, I did it, Eddie. I did it, and
it's accessibility with VR at the moment as well. That's the other thing. Like, you know, people, it needs to be a wireless headset that's comfortable to wear for long periods of time, have intuitive remotes or controls, and a good selection of games that actually are on par and rival consoles or good PC rigs or something.
Yes, the wireless headset, Kirk. That's a huge one. That is a matter, because the thing that put me off PSVR was that it was a ball ache to set up every time.
Yeah, 700 cables coming out of everything.
It's fucking nonsense. It really was. I played this awesome, I've forgotten the name of it, but I played the shooter on it, which was like on an alien planet. They're like spider things. It's basically like Starship Troopers.
I know what one you're talking about. I played it around a friend's house.
And when you turn the movement so you can fully move and walk and stuff and risk being sick. But if you turn it so it's an actual computer game, and I bought the PlayStation gun like remote thing. Yeah. And it was the best experience on VR. It was so good. I remember being in that and being like, oh my God, I'm in Starship Troopers. This is so fucking cool.
Did you ever hit the gun on the helmet by accident a couple of times when you're like pretending to aim down scope or something?
Yeah, exactly. But what was amazing, like, that was so cool. Like, bringing the gun up to aim down scope where you actually physically do it.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing. And they also had a time trial mode. And even in the load screens, you're just in like an office and you just fling your gun around and like hit your coffee cup off the table and stuff. Like, it was just a brilliant game. It didn't get the credit it deserved. But that was VR. That's to me was like what an average VR game should be. If average VR games were like that, you'd be onto a winner.
We've got to wait for PSVR 2 for that, really. I reckon that's going to be the thing that opens it up to the mass market a bit more.
And I will get that.
Yeah, of course you
obviously.
Will.
Obviously, yeah.
But you might return it.
I might do. It does make me feel sick.
Fuck's sake.
All right, next one. Guild of Dungeoneering Ultimate Edition. What a name. This is a turn-based dungeon crawler involving cards where you control what to do with your heroes as opposed to directly controlling them. I kept this in because it looks... I like the aspect of the whole dungeon crawling with cards, and I do like the whole like managing your people. And it looked quite nice. It's just got a nice art style to it.
Was this the one that looked like West of Loathing?
I guess the kind of drawings of it. Yeah, I guess so.
I think it looks shit.
Well.
I loved the art style.
No, I'm not a fan personally.
Well, two against one there, Kirk. So
yeah, it reminded me of West of Loathing.
Yeah, I see what you mean by it. Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I think Kirk's wrong.
Kirk's wrong. Kirk's objectively wrong.
Absolutely wrong. Steam reviews already say mostly positive. So
Kirk is wrong.
And that's just from a demo, Kirk. So Kirk's wrong. Let's move on. Next one. Let's get these out of the way. Microsoft Flight Simulator Game of the Year Edition, as well as Reno Air Races Expansion Pack, It's Reno, isn't it? Reno Air Races?
Reno.
Reno Air Races full collection, all coming out November 18th. PS and Xboxes. I've had a look and it's just kind of skins for...
PC and Xboxes, yeah.
PC and Xboxes.
Yeah, didn't want to correct him, but...
What did I say?
Glad you did.
You said PS rather than PC.
So. Yes, sorry. PC and Xbox.
You get some bitterly disappointed PlayStation fans there.
It just looks like the Air Races expansion pack is like just like certain little planes. But I guess if you like that game, then that might excite you. I don't know.
I think a lot of people play
this game.
Some
people are all into it.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, it's got a big following, this game. Yeah, and I it does look stunning. I'll give you that. I cannot download that game because of the size of it, but
yeah, it's massive, isn't it?
It's wassy. Right, next one, Myth of Empires, coming out on PC. This is a multiplayer sandbox game. This is another one of those games that could be really exciting. To our listeners, this is like Life is Feudal. I don't know if you two remember that game. Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's like a medieval... like life simulator, but it was heavily influenced by combat. So the thing that really excited me about the game that got me into it was I just wanted to be like a normal medieval person, just like growing a farm and like going to market and selling shit. But the problem with that is nobody played it, so all the servers died a painful death.
Badly.
Like I remember looking online and I was like, how do I do this? And it's like, you can't do it because there's no one around. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So this could be amazing if everyone latches onto it. And this could be a for-life kind of game. And it looks like, you know, you can all play with your mates and you can build up your town and then go invade other people. You know, if you're full into it, it could be a life-changing game. But
is this an individual game? Because I saw a video of it and I was like, I didn't quite get it. Are you an individual or are you controlling
a group of people? Yeah.
One person.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought it looked quite impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Life is Feudal is an incredibly impressive game on paper, but it's one of those things that you only notice these problems when you get into the game. So, like you know, the videos look incredible. It looks like the best game of all time, but...
It does look great,
I'm just saying now, I wouldn't... it'll be interesting to see what it's like.
Bank on it. You have to wait to see what reviews.
Yeah, I've got it on my wish list. It'll be interesting.
Wait for that to become £2.
Yeah, well, it's one of those that if it goes down that low so quickly, then you know it's a shit game anyway. So I won't get.
To be honest, Eddie, you're probably just not going to get it because if it sells well, it's going to stay up in price.
Yep.
If it sells badly, then it's a bad game.
Yeah. But if it stays up high price and it's a good game, then I'll definitely get it, because this is the kind of game, my God, you could sink thousands of hours in. If you get invested and you've got your own clan and you're building up a town and you're going invading other people and like stealing all their shit, this could be a for life game. But
so this is multiplayer on a server,
yes,
is it?
Is
this okay?
Yep,
got you.
Multiplayer kind of sandbox. Yeah, you kind of build up you could become a ruler and go and try and take over people, or you could just like build up a farm and sell things and stuff like that. So
do as you wish
sandbox, one might call it.
Lovely.
Yeah, so lovely. Let's see, I will have that on the wish list and hopefully I'll be able to update you on that in a few weeks time. Next one, Undungeon, is coming out on PC and Xboxes November 18th. This is an action RPG driven by intense real-time combat and an immensely rich science fiction story. It looks quite interesting. I quite like the art style, even though the art style is supposed to be like old school, isn't it?
It is.
It's Hades-esque.
You know what? I actually was going to say that, Kirk, but I thought Pete and Ben would have jumped on my back, so I didn't write that down.
It's nice, but it's weirdly off-putting for me.
Yeah,
what is it about it that's off-putting?
Is what the fuck is that? It's not a pleasant-looking thing, is it? And you're
is that the thing with the beak?
Yeah, the beak.
Yeah, nice.
The beak skull.
It just doesn't look like a game for me. I'm not. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I saw it. I moved on.
Oh, fuck you! What do you think, Kirk?
I don't really look at these games and give them a second glance. It's not the kind of thing that I go for. Hades had to pull me in via basically every fucker in the world saying it was amazing, and then I thought, do you know what, it's coming on Game Pass, I don't have to pay for it, I'll have a play, and I ended up loving it and sunk a load of hours into it.
Yeah.
Otherwise I wouldn't have bothered, if I'm being honest, even with its glowing reviews. So this is probably not going to get anything from me, other than we just had a little chat about it right now, and that's going to be it.
Little chat, that's all it gets from you.
Brilliant. Yeah, fine. I thought you were going to be on my side there, but fuck you. Right, next one is a small little game called Battlefield 2042, coming out on PlayStation, Xbox, PC, all on November 19th. But I will say there's a free 10-hour trial with EA Play, is it? EA Play, that's the one. So, yes. Yeah, but we're going to talk about that because me and Ben have been playing that this week.
Is that whether you buy it or not?
No, I was just going to say, let's just clarify the word free there. It's free when you've bought it.
Oh, okay. Is it?
Right.
Yeah, you can't just play this game for 10 hours.
Oh, that makes me feel really good, because I was kind of kicking myself last night thinking you should have just got the free trial and seen what it's like and then not paid the money.
Oh, no, you have to pre-purchase it, yeah.
I even saw an advert for the 10-hour free trial. What the fuck's it? You know what? That's fine.
You know what? Don't look it up, because don't have it confirmed any other way, because that's what I believe, and that's what.
Oh, so that's got to be true then.
Yes, God, please be true. That's, yeah. please.
Cool. Yeah, we won't
talk
about that.
Why would we ever buy this game in advance of, like, if we had 10 hours free? Please be true. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Next one, Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation Code Fairy Volume 2.
There's a Volume 2.
Coming out November 19th on PlayStations. This is, don't get me wrong, this looks terrible, but I'm going to call it a better Titanfall.
You remember this from the other week, Eddie, don't you?
I do. No, and I remember Kurt got really upset with me for saying it was a better Titanfall, so that's why I said it again. Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, Eddie.
Okay, good. So at least everyone remembers. Like, they've released Volume 2 so quickly. I love it.
Well, when it's so good, and when, you know, when everyone on Titanfall moves over to this amazing game, then you can kind of understand, can't you?
Yeah, as we've said previously,
I don't understand. Look, I know that the part of the show is for the banter, the lols, you know, winding each other up and all that kind of shit. But just go fuck off, would you? All right, you're talking out your ass, Eddie. Fucking move on.
I think this game looks wonderful.
Kirk, have you played this?
I think it looks really good. Yeah.
No, because it looks like Transformers, if you remember what I said last time.
Kirk, there are two volumes here, and there are only two Titanfalls.
Yep.
So when they release Volume 3, it's already one better.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's how you measure success, is it?
Yeah, that they've made three of them.
Yeah.
You are...
Correct.
And
you are
we don't know
human.
Where that's going to stop. We don't know where that's going to stop, Kirk.
Yep.
I mean, in a few weeks' time, we could be on, like, Volume 10.
And then it would be infinitely better than Titanfall. I mean,
infinitely.
It already is better than Titanfall, but...
Or at least five times better.
Yeah.
Please
stop. Well, there we are. There's the bet in Titanfall. So if you like Titanfall, then get on to Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation Code Fairy Volume 2.
Well, I think if you're missing Titanfall, absolutely.
Next one is Nerf! Legends. Nerf is in all capitals, so I had to shout that. That's coming out.
That's louder than when you do the fucking test at the beginning of the show, you dickhead.
Yeah, that is louder than
if you brought that kind of energy at the beginning, we would do our tests a lot easier. Fucking hell.
I'm a quiet guy. I'm renowned for being quiet.
Yeah, you're quiet, apart from when you shout out, Nerf!
Oh, anyway, Nerf Legends is coming out on PC.
I'm really having to step back from my microphone now.
PlayStations, Xboxes, and Switch on November 19th. This is a first-person multiplayer game. It looks like kind of stupidly childish. It looks like Fallout, kind of. They're obviously marketing for children on that. But
you mean Fortnite?
Sorry, Fortnite. Yeah, definitely not Fallout. Fuck me. Yeah, I think it looks awful. What do you guys think?
I actually thought it looked okay. When I say that, like, I think this will die a horrible death. Nobody will buy it. But if it does actually gain some traction, especially on Switch, I think it could do a job. Like, it looked okay from what I was thinking. It's just that it's such a hard market to crack.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's going to be anyone that fucking plays with Nerf guns, isn't it? And that's going to be primarily, what, 3 to 6-year-olds or something? So,
sorry.
Yeah, I think
3 year old.
I think yeah.
Have you
walked into a Smith's store before?
Sorry, 3 year olds do not play with Nerf guns.
Isn't it like age restricted or whatever?
Well, even if so, they don't have like the dexterity and the what the hell?
Can you stand at 3?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay. Are you sure? I mean, I think it's like when you're 3, you're like dada, aren't you?
I don't like.
We're asking.
Can we just move on? The game looks shit, okay? But I agree with you, Eddie. Okay, it looks like it just looks a bit like crap, like Fortnite, that kind of thing.
I don't think it looks shit. I was talking
about Eddie's point. I know you like it, and you're going to buy it, Ben.
I'm not. All I'm saying is it's a hard market to crack. So unfortunately, I think it will die. But I didn't think it looked terrible.
Okay. Have you asked for a review code?
Yes.
No, but that's what I would say if we had.
Brilliant. Next
don't give
one.
Away the trade secrets, Kirk.
Yeah. Shut up, Kirk. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond / Shining Pearl coming out on Switch November 19th. Ben?
You excited?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get them.
Ooh, what?
Yeah. Well, I made an impromptu purchase of Shin Megami Tensei 5 the weekend, and I'm not enjoying that much so far, so I kind of feel like I've wasted too much money. So I think I might just give this a skip until the FOMO gets either too much or this kind of slips into the background.
So next week.
So either people will go, oh, actually, the new Pokemons, the remakes are quite good, and then I'll go, okay, must get involved. Or nobody will talk about them, and then they'll kind of just like float away. So I'm hoping it's kind of the latter for my bank account. But these are the remakes of Diamond and Pearl, and you know, it's been made by different studios so that the main A team can focus on Pokemon Legends Arceus.
When is that out?
January, end of January.
It's January. Okay.
Yeah, end of January. Cool. So that looks really good, and that's the one that I'm focusing on. So this will be a nice... I don't think I'm going to get it, but it'd be nice for when there's nothing coming out, whatever, that I might pick it up sometime.
Yeah, exactly. All right, nice one. Next one and last one, Death's Door, coming out PC, PlayStations on November 23rd. I think we've already seen this in a showcase or something.
We did. This was that Xbox game, wasn't it?
Yes, it's the...
Where you're a crow.
I mean, critically acclaimed now.
Oh, is that right? You're a crow?
Yes, you're a crow. You like a soul. And we've asked for a review code for this, and we're going to get one. So so let's be nice.
I'd be excited.
It's the best game I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you look at Metacritic, I think it's in the high 80s.
I know Steam is very positive, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I bought this on Steam, but I returned it just less than 2 hours in because I just wasn't feeling it. It wasn't a bad game or anything. I did the first boss and I was like, can't be bothered to play this right now. But to all intents and purposes, it's in a lot of people's discussion for at least indie game of the year.
Yeah, 87 at next, 85% on Metacritic.
Yeah, exactly. So it's got huge reviews coming out on PC and the PlayStations now, because Xbox had a small exclusivity for a time. Oh, it's also coming on Switch. I don't know why we're not saying that there. But yeah, it's also out on Switch on November 23rd.
Oh, is it?
Cool.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay. Lovely. That's all the new releases this week.
Lovely. Good stuff. Lovely. Well, time for what we've been playing. Now, it's a big old section this week, because we've got some pretty beasting new releases. So just quickly, I'll go over the fact that I finished House of Cards and House of Cards.
House of Cards.
that is old school.
You're telling our TV series. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, a very, very good TV
very,
series. But
it was very finished, good. Yeah, very
finished, good. Finished House of Ashes, the Dark Pictures anthology. The one that I was streaming, we've got videos on YouTube of it. So this is actually our first full playthrough that we've done on Twitch, and we've uploaded to YouTube. So if you're interested in seeing this playthrough from start to finish, it's not that long. I think it's about, I want to say like 4 hours.
Wow.
4.5 hours, something like that.
The whole game?
I think it was. Yeah, it's 3 streams long. The last one was longer than the first two, but I think five hours, let's say.
Wasn't very expensive, was it? It was like 20, 25 quid or something.
Yeah, I think I got it for 18 off Instant Gaming.
Nice.
So, yeah, £18. I think it was 5 hours. Now, the idea of this game is obviously to play multiple playthroughs so that you can save everyone and stuff, but, you know, I really, really enjoyed it, though. I don't know if I enjoyed it more because I was streaming and it was quite nice interaction and stuff. It's quite good. But the premise, we went over it last week, so you can always go back and listen to what we've been playing last week to actually hear about what the game's about. But the atmosphere was great. To pick up from last week, the atmosphere was fantastic, and by the end there are actually a few characters that I liked, and that's not always the case in these games. So and what we discovered during the stream that Salim, the character Salim, is voiced by the same guy who did Asher in the Spartacus series, so wow. That made us love him even more. So yeah, it was a really good playthrough. But yeah, as I said, go to our YouTube channel, watch that through, because it's cool. It's one to, if you're never going to play it, it's just one to nice to watch in it. And
it's one of those games that you don't mind actually watching, do you? Because
no, because it's like a movie.
Yes, because it is like a movie anyway. So it's actually quite a good one to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I thought it was going to be a good streaming game because of that fact. Because it's a good narrative game. So. Yeah, so that one's done. Wrap that one up, and that one's very good. We also were playing this week, Kirk and I, we played Mega Aquarium on the Xbox. So for full disclosure, we did have a review code for this one. So last week we mentioned that the DLC was coming out. So, but we wanted to play it on Xbox, so they gave us a code for the original game rather than the DLC, because the DLC is just coming to PC. But we thought we'd kind of check it out, and I know you've got some thoughts on it, Kirk, but I'll briefly... It's a rather relaxing but fairly addictive game, which is kind of like Theme Hospital or the new Two Point Hospital, but for aquariums.
I'd agree with that.
It's like that, but it's without the wackiness, I'd say, and it's a bit more of a management sim.
Yeah, it's very grounded, isn't it? In its kind of
what
direction.
It's trying to do. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the campaign of it, I think it consists of 10 kind of levels. Where you're building up various size and complex kind of aquariums, all the way up to like shark tanks and stuff like that, and it's quite good. But it does take quite a bit of time, quite a bit of management, quite a bit of understanding of the systems. And I actually really enjoyed my time with it this week. I thought it was very relaxing to play.
What did you think of the music in it? Because I thought, I don't know about you, but I got like, it was like chilled vibes for my beefer, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, it was really
that
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, I quite liked the music. I thought, when I first heard it, I was like, this is nice, but I thought it might start to kind of grate or something, but didn't.
It changes up as well, doesn't it? But yeah. No, I think the way that it kind of... plays the mechanics of it. I thought it was quite easy to navigate when I started out. And
yes,
I do like the
really
fact that it helps
to navigate. Yeah,
yeah. Although I will say, initially, I'm one of those people that doesn't. I don't read things all of the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm a gamer. I know what to do. But there were a couple of things I was like, oh shit, have I missed something here? And then I'd obviously miss like, okay, how do I get to this part of the menu to get this. This thing for the tank, that kind of thing. But obviously it's got on the tutorial in the Sunnyside section, so that's what the Sunnyside store is about, isn't it? It's the initial tutorial.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just basically holds your hand, which I think you need, because you're not going to figure it out all by yourself.
It does hold your hand, and it gives you these objectives in it, and that's
that
how
little
checklist,
kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, I quite liked that, because it is teaching you how to do it, but there are points during each level where it basically says like, go and get your prestige up. Like,
yeah, how did you do with the prestige to begin with? Were you on the constant rise, or did you go down before you started doing
stuff? No, I went down. So basically, like, to complete a level, you fill out all this checklist on your aquarium, and then you have to reach a certain level of prestige. So it's a number, and that goes up or down depending on how well your aquarium's doing. And mine plummeted as soon as the checklist was done.
I love that. It's like, right, now you need to maintain what's it, 80 prestige for like 2 or 3 minutes, like,
yes.
And
half
I was
an
like
hour
okay
later.
Fast forward. Shit, okay, now it's just plummeted. What have I got to do? Okay, let's clean the tanks, let's make sure things are fed, let's put some new stuff in so that, you know, customers are happy. Betty wants to sit down, I need to put a bench down, okay, put that down, okay.
Yeah, it was one of those where you're like, oh, now you're left to your own devices. go and... Oh, now you can play the game.
The training wheels are off, buddy.
Oh, I've fallen off the bike.
I did... one other thing from me. I did love... I actually laughed out loud. You know, you have to like keep growing your store, and you add like to the floor plan and add walls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, my store looked nothing like what the next store looked like. Mine was a shambles, in all seriousness. I didn't put walls up around the tanks and then hide like the gear behind the walls for the staff to go through and all that kind of stuff.
That first one, you're basically, it's a shout. All you're trying to do is gain prestige, so you're just boshing tanks in everywhere. Just random tanks for people to look at. I enjoyed it. It's actually a lot better than I anticipated.
Educational as well, I'll have you know. I was just going to say, I don't know if you know, but I found out what a royal grammar was because of this game.
So not that educational.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about fish, if I'm being totally honest with you. But
Put yourself down, Kirk.
Why? What's a salmon? I know what a salmon is. Okay, what's a royal grammar? I don't know. Like, is that a band? Royal grammar? No.
Very good. Okay, fine.
I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it, and I think, combined with the music and just the way that it kind of navigated, did you see that you could zoom right in as well, like into basically eye level or customer level?
Cool.
Really? I didn't see that, because
you go right in. I think it's the right thumbstick. Hold up hold up to zoom in, and you pull back to zoom out. But if you hold all the way up, it will go to customer level.
So I had one kind of side point which I was thinking that would be really good for this game. Who knows how long this would take to actually develop and whether it'd be easy. But if they had like a fish tank mode where the fish tanks that you've put together, where you could click on it and you could go down to eye level and it could just fill the screen and like the fish would just move around and stuff and maybe some watery sounds or stuff like that, I think that would be brilliant. Like, you could, like, imagine your Switch, having that on your Switch and just kicking it on the stand and, like, for your kid or whatever, and they just fall asleep to that.
Yeah.
Like, the fish moving around and
stuff. I didn't investigate too much. I did it by mistake, I think, because I was like, it was at the beginning when I was like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And then I was just pressing buttons, going, oh, shit, what am I doing again? But I figured out that you can zoom right to floor level.
That's cool. Yeah. I do think that, like, little fish tank mode or something, building it up, and
you can, that's what it is, so you can like look through, is it? You can see, it's not quite as, I think what you mean is going into the tank, is that right?
Yeah, what I mean is having the tank filled screen and like the fish moving around and stuff, but obviously the game time would be progressing. I wish you could just like go, oh, I've built an awesome tank, I've got all these different fish, I've put this in here, how about we just like view it so my kid can fall asleep to it?
So
like,
zoom right in and then just go to where the tank is.
I think it would have to be a special feature though to it.
Yeah.
You'd have to stop the timer. That's the thing.
Okay.
It'd have to be a bit DLC. It's just something I thought of, because like aquariums, like that would be, I was just thinking of the Switch basically, because the Switch has a lovely kickstand that you can just have on your desk or something. And I just thought it'd be quite nice. But that's just me. But anyway, our closing remarks on that one. It's quite good. If Mega Aquarium is on sale, then I definitely recommend it as a little management sim. Absolutely.
Definitely.
I think it's on sale now, isn't it?
It might be.
Yeah, it's on 50% sale right now.
Oh, is it? How much is it?
It's down to £9.74.
Lovely.
£10.
What a bargain. Okay, good stuff. Good. Well, shall we move on to one of the bigger games of the week? I reckon we should go for Forza, Kirk.
You reckon?
I reckon it's time.
That's a big decision. Are you sure?
I reckon it's time.
I'm really sure. Okay.
For a little broomy broomy zoom zoom game.
My little broomy broomy game. All right, so I've been playing this pretty much all week. I got to start off with saying I'm fucking loving it. Now, full disclaimer, so that you don't go conjuring your own thoughts up in your head, going, "Oh, it's just a broomy broomy." It is pretty much Horizon 4, but it's better, and it's like it's on steroids. That's essentially what it is. They've taken what worked with the last game, and they've just made it all better. I've been playing it on quality mode, so what that means is it runs at 30 frames per second, but it's got higher graphic fidelity. So there's more trees and shrubbery. There's actually like a depth to to things on the ground. Now, obviously, if you're going at like 200 miles an hour, you don't see that. But when you're slowing down or it's slower parts of the game, it's really quite detailed in that respect. Mm. I loved the intro sequence to the game. It just throws you in all the a bunch of different biomes, so you can see what the game has to offer. And when you go through the jungle, I mean, everyone's been raving about the jungle. There's just so much going on there, and it does look fantastic. I also need to point out that because it is pretty much Horizon 4, but on steroids, Playground Games developer, they're not reinventing the wheel with it. And that's not a bad thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you're right with that one. Yep.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing that they've just given us more of the same. And the reason is the gameplay is fantastic. It handles so well. Like it is arcadey, but with simulation aspects to it. And you can go deeper into the simulation if you want to. It's not going to be quite as simulated as something like Forza Motorsport or like a Gran Turismo or something like that. But that's not what this is. It's an open world vroomy vroomy game, Eddie. but it's accessible for so many people. If you just want to go turn your mind off, just go have a bit of fun and enjoy some good visuals and, you know, have music playing and have no proper purpose, but just to check things off of a list and that kind of thing. That's what this is. The views of the game in terms of the different biomes and stuff, honestly, fantastic. And one of the things I really love is, I don't know if you guys saw, but I posted a picture of a car on the mountain, like right near the top. And the distance that you can see, you can just drive to. It's not like it's you can literally go from point A to point B, and that's what's so impressive about it. And from a distance, it does look almost photorealistic as well, because obviously it's, you know, I guess they do some form of trickery with it and whatnot, but it just looks fantastic. Now, I know the graphics are a hot debate here, because some people have been having some good experiences, some people have been having bad ones. There's a lot of screenshots online. Like, and Ben, I know you're gonna mention something about this. Obviously, I've taken photos, and obviously photo mode looks great. Doesn't quite look as great as it does in the photos using photo mode as it does when it's actually running, but that's not to say that it's a bad looking game. But Ben, did you want to mention what you figured from this?
So I think there is a massive difference between Xbox Series X and PC and Xbox Series S on this game. There is no doubt that this game looks good. There's no doubt at all that this game looks good. I play on a Series S, and it looks lovely. But the game doesn't look amazing.
Really? Like, I thought all these games looked incredible.
Let me backtrack a little bit. It looks really nice. It looks great.
What? What?
No, but amazing.
He's very confused.
I'm on a roller coaster.
Amazing. Yeah, sorry. But it doesn't look amazing. Like, some things look great. And other things, you look at the trees and you're like, the fuck's going on here? I sent Kirk a picture of the lamppost and it was like, what the fuck is this?
Like, it did look a bit crap, but that's like an element of the game which isn't meant to be like a realistic lamppost, because you're gonna zoom past it.
Yeah, they focused on some aspects to look good, some aspects to look not so good. I was playing in performance mode. I was playing in the quality mode to start with, the 30 frames, which the higher graphical fidelity, but then I moved to 60 frames, and once you go to 60 frames, it's hard to go back to 30.
I did struggle to begin with, but for me it was worth it, because I really like the way it looks in graphic mode, and you do adjust pretty quickly. Don't get me wrong, 60 frames is so much better, it really is, but they've done a fantastic job with the 30 frames and the motion blur.
I couldn't notice too much of a difference graphically on the Series S between the two modes, so I thought, okay, well, I'd stick on 60. But what I would say is that you get this game on Twitter and everything is being treated as like the second coming of like graphical games, and I do think it looks great. But when people take their photos, it looks stunning. Mm. It looks absolutely stunning. But newsflash, the game doesn't look like that.
No, because it's rendering.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that. Stuff. So it's like, oh, look how amazing this looks. Yes, when you take a photo in photo mode. but at no point during the game does it ever look like that. I took a photo in photo mode, and then I went back to the normal, what I was viewing on the screen. I was like, I haven't moved the camera. It looks like dog shit in comparison. Like, it was just really weird how that happened. The bush was like some fucking... I couldn't... What the fuck?
I know you've got opinions, but, and I know we spoke about this off the podcast the other day, didn't we?
Yes.
And the thing that you've got to give credit here is the game looks fantastic for the scope that it is achieving. And by that, the amount of consoles and PC that it's running on. Because this still works on an 8-year-old Xbox One and still looks good. And that will no doubt have held back their development to make it look like what you're imagining with, or what people are trying to claim it as. But on the upper end, it does look very, very good. We did that thing with the photos, didn't we, of our, like, taking screenshots, and you did say that the same location and the same car did look noticeably better on the Series X.
Yeah, we went to the same location, and the Series X was a lot better. But I thought your point that you made about scope of this game across all consoles, and also, this is an open world game. So let's just backtrack on a little bit of what I said about the graphics. When you have a sandbox experience where everything is crafted, and because I said to you, Kurt, I was like, well, look at Ride 4 on PlayStation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, look how fucking amazing that looks. That doesn't... Forza Horizon doesn't look as good as that. You're like, yeah, but that's a constructed track. That's...
It's a everything close circuit there is race
built. It's built there. And that was a great point, because... And that's what I needed to separate, because this is a fucking open world game. It's huge, and it looks amazing for an open world game. Does it look amazing in general? Some parts of it look great. Some parts of it don't look so good. But on the whole, it looks very, very nice.
Mm.
But I just don't... I do think there's a bit of confirmation bias going on around the graphics of this game. I do think it's like, oh, this game looks great. Yeah, it does look great. Yeah, do you think it looks great? Yeah, it looks fucking amazing. You know, it's...
Like, I mean, ultimately, in terms of the way it looks, I'm very happy with the way it looks. I'm not going to argue with that.
Well, no, I'm not unhappy. I think it looks nice.
I know you did mention that you wanted to see it running on a Series X, so that you've got a better idea of what I'm seeing or something.
I was going to put it on my PC, but the download's too massive. I didn't have time to do it. But I was going to put it on my PC because my PC would run it and it would look better. I'm interested to see what it would look like on my PC. I'm sure it would look stunning, to be honest.
I mean, graphics aside, what they've achieved is just a really fun game to play. And now this is a game that I would class as a palate cleanser for me, because this is a game that I could pick up and play whenever the fuck I want in between bigger games that I have to really concentrate. You know, like when you have to go back to a game, and if you haven't played it for a few weeks, you go, shit, what are the controls again? That kind of thing. All I'd know is I got to press RT for go and LT for break, and that's about it, you know? And I can just have some fun and not have to worry and think too hard. So I can just kind of jump in and out whenever I want to as time goes on. I will be honest, I've got a couple of negatives, but it's only a couple of small negatives, I would say. So online play has been really choppy, and there's been a lot of stuff. There's been a lot of chatter online about this. There's been a lot of disconnections from the servers, and my game just never seems to connect to the server. So sometimes I'll be playing, and there'll be random people in the same map as me. And then all of a sudden it just disconnect, and then it won't connect again. And I've got like run diagnostics and stuff within the game, and it won't do it. And I'm like, oh, fuck this. So I just don't bother. I just go in solo mode. So I'm not playing online with anyone at the moment anyway, to be honest. The other thing is, and this is more of a serious one for me, and this is why I've stayed away from performance mode. But I did go into performance mode. Obviously 60 frames looks amazing and it's so, so smooth. But I had a lot of pop-in personally. And I don't know if it's a Series X thing or if it's something else, or
I haven't noticed that. No.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. But obviously, the Series S is going to be a bit dialed back from what the Series X version is going to be anyway. But I don't know if I don't know. It must be a bug or a glitch. But there was noticeable pop in that was distracting me a lot. And I was like, I can't race with this, because even though I'm focusing on where I've got to go, I'm seeing trees and bushes and shit like that popping here, there, really? And everywhere.
That's weird.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. So I went straight back to fidelity mode, or graphics mode, sorry. And that kind of sorted all of that out. So, I mean, the game overall, I'm very, very happy with. And I would have been happy to pay money for it as well. It just so happens that it's on Game Pass, which is great. But I've really got no complaints. And I it's just one of those things, like I said, that I will play happily. It's my Rimworld, Eddie.
Yeah. I did play Forza Horizon 4, and I've kind of been with Eddie and Pete a little bit on these types of games. But my opinion of this is that it's fucking outstanding.
Ooh,
wow. I think this game is absolutely superb.
I'm on a roller coaster. I really am.
The reason I think it is because there is literally no point to it. But it is so fun. The only point to the game is to have fun. Like, nothing matters. Nothing matters in the game. Like, there are races, doesn't matter where you finish. There are tasks, doesn't matter what you do. You can unlock this, who cares? Like, there is no point to it. Like, I'm struggling. I really struggled with Forza Horizon 4, and I went into this with a better mindset, because I was playing 4, and I was like, but what's the point? Like, what do you do?
Yeah,
I do these things, but why?
It's this mindless currency, fun.
And then I buy a car. But it is actually, it's like I called it the anti-depression game. It's like you just get in this world and you forget about everything, and it's just all about having fun, and it's incredible for that actually.
Do races, jump off of cliffs to earn points off of danger signs, do some PR stunts, to go rallying, go fucking 300 miles an hour in the top-end Bugatti or something.
But there is no point
to it. But you're having fun whilst you're doing it?
I spent my whole Saturday getting enough credit so I could buy the Warthog from Halo. And I got it, and I was like, great, cool.
And then you started going around the and then I the started bombing around with on it. The Warthog?
Yeah, and then I started racing in a Warthog.
Nice.
Great.
Fantastic. But it's a solid game, and this is I'm not going to lie, this is a Game of the Year contender for me.
It's like, it's a no-brainer if you've got Game Pass. Like, try it out, because you don't have to be a fan of racing it. This isn't a racing game. It's an open world game.
Yeah, it's not a vroom vroom game, Eddie.
It's not a racing game. Like,
okay, you're on the verge of getting me to install it, but what... Is there some sort of point to it? Like, said you earn money and you buy better cars. Is that the kind of goal?
So the general loop, Eddie, is that you earn a currency, an in-game currency. You, like, level up your character or whatever, and that will get you so that you can upgrade cars and get different perks and stuff.
Right.
That will get you more currency and more experience, so you level up and you get more currency. It's all about building up the currency, basically, and you get... what things called wheel spins. So when you level up or when you do certain things, you get a wheel spin, which basically means like on a game show, you just spin around and then you can get something for that. It might be more money, it might be a random car. Like, I got a £2.5 million car.
Oh, right.
Like, and it's like, wow, and it was a Forza special one. I was like, oh, that's quite fortunate. Like, and but it's all about that gameplay loop of almost like gambling, like the addiction of gambling, but you're not gambling. It's just about getting a new bit of loot. And then it's got basically every car that you know. Like, the amount of cars in this game is outstanding.
I think they got about 550 or something.
It's incredible. Like, oh, I want, like, I could buy some of my old cars. Like, literally, I bought a Jeep Grand Cherokee, the same one that my girlfriend has, just because. Just because.
Look, honey, look what I've got. Look what I'm driving in.
Yeah, and I made it in the same colour. I made it white. And I was like, yeah, it's your car. I'm driving it. It handles really badly on Forza.
I would say, actually, to your point of there's no point to the game, I would... just something twigged in my head. I think the actual aim of the game, if you wanted there to be an aim, and obviously this is subjective, this is down to individual circumstances, but it's earning the achievements. Because obviously you would have to do everything to earn achievements.
Or that is definitely one. Or it's like, but you can even, like, if you said, oh, I need to open up all the game, because there are different race types, Eddie. So there's like, there's jungle racing, right. There's dune running, there's street racing, there's track racing, all this type of stuff. You can unlock them, and then you unlock loads of races around. But then you can unlock another one of that to unlock more races of that. So there's just like, you know, 10,000 races in the game.
One of the best races that I did was at the end of one of the main... So there's different outposts that you unlock during the game. And at the end of each one, you've got usually like a big race. And the first one I did was like a 15-minute race that went from the east coast of the map to the west coast of the map. And you're going through a bunch of different biomes at the same time. This really showcases what this game is actually achieving in terms of its scope, because it is... You're going from like a mountainous volcano area down to like beachy dunes through little village, like town, shabby town with shacks and stuff, straight through to a jungle. But it's not all like, you know, there, and then you're there. It's obviously all separated, but it's all in one hit, which
it's
is great.
The races are in the open world, and it just sets up, and you just have to, it sets up the track for you. It's great. And it's, I unlocked street racing because I wanted to do street racing. It's like, oh, I fancy doing street racing. So then you just got fucking oodles to pick from.
It's a little bit overwhelming to begin with, if I'm being honest, but you can filter using the filter section on the map if it's a bit too much.
It's not great at explaining its non-purpose. I struggled with knowing really what to do. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter what you do.
You got to go in and just have some fun. That's what it's for.
Which sounds weird and shit.
But hold on, don't you play games to have fun?
Yes, Kirk, but don't do that.
No, I'm telling you what you do. You play games to have fun. Do you get fun out of playing Forza Horizon 5?
Yeah, but they've usually got some kind of
right,
point.
Next, let's go. Jesus.
Eddie, are you going to download this?
I think I will, only because I have enjoyed Roomy Roomy games before. And if this is so... Plus, I'm also thinking, I can see Kirk putting this as his Game of the Year contender, which means I have to play
it. You have to have an opinion. Yeah.
So...
Shit.
Go on then. Right, okay, should we move
Hang
on to...
Kirk, you know what I'm putting for my Game of the Year contender?
What?
Do you not know what game I'm going to put?
I mean, we have a few choices each.
But, I've got one. It's called Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation Code Fairy Volume 2.
Jesus.
Uh-huh. Oh, not Volume 1?
Both, Ben.
Oh, fantastic.
So two of your three choices are the Titanfall
yep.
better games.
Just so you have to
pick the Titanfall games.
Oh, so it went funny there.
Oh, there's a lot of audio issues already there.
What happened there?
Eddie,
are you in a tin?
I unplugged my headset, sorry.
Excellent.
That shit went down.
That's fine.
I got so excited about
recording,
playing that.
We're not stopping
game.
The recording.
Sorry,
we're
listeners. We'll just apologise for that.
As long as your audio is still recording, Eddie.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, then, yeah. Good point, actually. Yes.
Eddie doesn't understand how to not touch a mic when it's recording.
Yeah, then we're good to go, and that will not be edited out. That's fine.
God, imagine if you just did your job.
Right. That's... strong for the amount of anyway
come on guys
I do
move,
all the new
move.
Releases right. now
oh do you okay that's a lot right Football Manager Eddie 2022 tell us about it
so I've been playing Football Manager 2022 by Sports Interactive came out on the 9th of November 2020 it's more importantly it's on Game Pass
2021
did I say 2020 in fact I've typed 2020 that's why I said it it's on Xbox Game Pass and it's on PC Game Pass, isn't it? So I don't know why you'd ever get it on Xbox Game Pass, but fine. I won't go too much into it, but I will go into the new features because that's why anyone buys a Football Manager game. There's five new features that they went into. Expanded deadline day. I'm not going to lie, I haven't even done one of these. I think because I'm in the bottom league. I'm in the Vanarama division.
Yeah, so am I.
North.
Yeah.
So I didn't get one of these.
I think
options.
I'm in Vanarama Premier. I think.
Oh wow! So you're one above me. Nice.
I'm one above you. Yeah.
Nice. I wish I was in those dizzying heights. So I haven't done one of them yet. So I'll let you know when I have. The next one: revamped staff meetings. I don't like them. There's a lot going on in them now. Like, have you noticed this, Ben? There's a lot of things just coming at you, and
it.
Yeah.
Sorry, you can't.
Well, I was going to say that I've done obviously a few of the meetings at the beginning, and then I remember, I think I was like in a meeting or something at work, so I was like, I'll just click the fucking summary page. And the summary page was so much better. It was just like, do you agree with this? Tick, tick, tick. And now I don't even go back to the meetings now. So
I did the same thing. So I attended them to start with, and then I was like, oh, this is nice, but... I can't. And then I just end meeting.
Yeah. I think maybe it was one of those things that if it came in at the beginning, like before, obviously, like the old meetings, then maybe I would have gotten used to it and therefore liked it. But the fact that I know that when you click end, it's got that lovely, nice little just tick the boxes
summary, yeah.
I think I'm never going to use it. Number three, the wide centre back. It's a new position and I absolutely love it. I've used it for one of my three tactics. It really works well for us English people because it's the tactic that Southgate used in the tournament before last, wasn't it? Do you remember where we just defend? Yeah. I mean, every time we play under Southgate is just defend, defend, defend. But it works really well. Even like the way you shape up, the way the wide centre backs go to like the wing, and then the left and right back push up. I think it looks exactly like the way England played, and it's kind of crazy that it wasn't in the last one.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. But it's a good addition.
Yeah. And then number four, the two big ones, data hub. So it's an area where it just basically shows you all statistics. It's really, you have cool features where you can actually like request certain things as well. So I've requested, I want to know how many of my passes are successful and accurate, I should say, in the data hub. And it has loads of statistics. I think this is a brilliant addition because you're playing Football Manager, which is a game where technically you should be watching a whole game that you play because you need to know like who's not making passes where.
I've always thought that, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because what I do is I watch the key highlights, and the problem is that's only times where it's normally when you're attacking, so you don't even know when you're losing the ball. So having this data hub here, you can look at things that you didn't even know before, so you can actually go, hang on, this tactic isn't working. I just got lucky for two games. I absolutely love it. What do you think of the... Do you use it, Ben?
I have used it. I think as you progress, it will become more valuable.
Mm.
I thought, this looks nice, but there's not enough data there when you start a season, obviously, or where you haven't been playing for that long. Yeah. But I did wonder, this is just a little side thing, that data is theoretically pulled together by your data analysts.
Yeah.
Right. But your data analysts, does that, like, they have a rating out of 20? Now, I was thinking, like, does that mean they get the stats wrong if they've got, like, a rating of 10?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point in a rating?
When you actually go on the data hub, there is actually a bit that says, like, accuracy. It goes, intermediate analysis. And it basically says, like, how good the rating is. So, yeah.
Are you playing Football Manager while we're podcasting?
No, I've written it down. So,
right, okay.
It does make me think, like, how accurate is that? Like, and I wish it would say, like with scouts, you know, you can see, like, that guy's passing is 8 to 12. But with that, it doesn't have that, which I kind of wish it did. I wish I had, like, a shadowed thing or something.
Yeah, I didn't know. But it's a lovely addition because Football Manager, in its essence, is all about the stats. Yeah. Now, when you get good at Football Manager, I don't feel that plays any part. Like, I eventually, you get to the stage where you just rattle through.
Yeah.
And the thing that has put me off this one, it's the same that put me off the last one, even though I did play the last one quite a bit. It's the constant press conferences.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you can get your assistant to take them and stuff like that, but in my experience, you can correct me with your experience, Eddie, but my experience is press conferences are how you win.
Yep, absolutely.
So press conferences in Football Manager are the way that you basically control the outcome of matches. Mm. by getting under people's skin, by doing whatever, by being an arsehole, by saying the right things. So you can't get somebody else to do it. Mm. And they're just a ball ache. They've just got more. There's so many questions. Yeah. They're so in-depth. Like, it's quite off-putting. And that's why I quite like the... You know, you said the Xbox version is out. Mm. That's why I quite like the Xbox version or the Switch version, because they get rid of all the press conferences.
Oh, do they?
Wow. Yeah, it's the core like Championship Manager experience.
Yes, I think you said this a while ago about,
and it's so, I like it so much more.
Yeah,
it's very hard to go back to the full PC version.
They've even introduced a new fucking press conference, because when I declined a transfer, which I do all the time, I basically want to see who I can sign, and then I cancel it at the last minute. I delay, then cancel, and every time you fucking cancel one, a press conference comes up. I'm like, no, I'm just fucking, I'm just, yeah, sure, I just ruined someone's life because he thought he's moving to Manchester, but, you know, fuck him. And now I have to have a fucking press conference.
Yeah, yeah, so I think Football Manager for me is becoming one of those games where I love the idea of playing it more than I actually like playing it.
Yeah, it's a second game for me. I could never, ever have it. And you know what's funny? Like, I'll mention the last thing is the match engine improvements. I think this is the biggest improvement of any Football Manager or Championship Manager, because it used to be Championship Manager, didn't it? That's ever happened, you know, apart from when they actually moved from the flashing text over to a match engine. I have not seen one very unrealistic thing yet. And what was really immersion-breaking for me, well, in every Football Manager, I think I bet I've even said this in a podcast this year, or last year. It just, you know, when a ball comes across to your man, and
I think you have,
it just spanks it to a corner. Or like there's two people that like kind of collide into it, and then it bounces into the goal, and you go, I can't imagine that happening. But this one, have you noticed this, Ben? It's so much better.
It's smooth. It's lovely. I thought the last one was really good as well. So I think they've improved this so much, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I watched the new features. I think there's three episodes on YouTube, and episode two goes into the match engine, and holy shit, you notice what they say. They're like, now all the people are on like lines, and the lines can't go too far. So like in the old Football Manager, a player would be running towards a ball that's come over the top, and then 2 seconds later, he's facing the opposite direction dribbling. But on this one, it says like, no, people can only go along their lines, so therefore there's no someone doing a fucking 360 with a ball in his face. So it is some of the bits, like when I'm going into he's running into the box, and in the old Football Manager I go, just knock it across, and then someone will just go through three players and knock it in. But this one, no, like defenders are blocking them, or they actually kind of turn around, and it's just so well done. With all that being said, it's still a second game. You can't play this by itself, can you?
No, it's still Football Manager at the end of the day. Still Football Manager. If you like Football Manager, you'll like this.
Definitely.
I feel like I've moved away from Football Manager full version to more towards the touch version, because I just think it's for me it's where I need to be. It's this, the press conference is just so a drag.
That's like I've said to you before, I think it would be I've never played it handheld, but it'd be brilliant because it is my secondary game. I never ever just sit in my office and play this, you know.
So Eddie, the handheld version is the I don't know if you get the when you buy the game on PC, you get the touch version with it.
Ah, right, yeah.
So you actually have the touch version on PC. It's exactly the same version as that.
Oh, okay.
And it's the same version.
I'm playing it on Game Pass though.
Yeah, so they don't think they have the touch version on that. So yeah, but it's pretty much got everything in it, but just without press conferences and without team talks.
Lovely. Sounds good to me.
It's good. It's good. But yes, that's what Manager, and we should probably then move on to the last biggie. The one we've been waiting for. Battlefield 2042.
Or as you put in the doc, 204, which was quite entertaining.
Good typo.
Battlefield 204. Lovely.
In year 204, the Roman.
Lovely. So Eddie and I have both bought it, and we have been playing it this the week early, but on the 10-hour... EA play thing that Eddie mentioned earlier.
The free 10-hour play.
The free 10-hour.
Yeah, just to clarify, it's not free.
It's free.
You bought it.
It's called free trial.
No, I checked this whilst I was in my silent mode whilst you were talking about your footy footy ball game. And
good.
Footy footy ball game.
So Kirk, Kirk, you haven't bought this game yet. No. You've refused to join the squad, which is fine. So when we first watched this trailer, we all fucking loved the look of this game, didn't we? We were like, this is going to be our game.
Looked insane.
We're big Warzone fans. We've all played a lot of that in the past, so we like squad-based shooters, so this was going to be our game.
Yeah.
That's what we thought.
Yeah.
And then Halo 2. Halo Infinite has been announced today. But forget about that. This game has launched to a muted response, I think. When I say launched, the early access period. A lot of hate towards it.
Yeah.
So the main complaints have been it's buggy. And there are server issues.
Mm.
I think we haven't really experienced any server issues.
No.
We've played a couple of nights and absolutely no server issues, which is great. The main bug that I'd seen was actually just nothing to do with the gameplay, just my gun wasn't upgrading. It wasn't registering the kills that I'd made towards my gun upgrading. But that seems to have now been fixed as well. So a lot of these reviews would have been on bugs or issues that hopefully will get resolved fairly quickly. But there are other bugs, obviously, just in the game. Like, one today, Eddie, when I was playing, and like the friendly tag above a character, we had this when we were playing as well, when you're just unloading a clip in somebody because you think it's an enemy, but it's actually a friendly.
We unloaded. It's not done. No, you spawned. You were shooting him, and then Jack came in, and he started shooting him, and then I came in, and I saw the guy, and I started shooting. We must have unloaded 100 bullets into this guy.
This guy was like, what the hell? So, yeah, they've still got that issue, which crops up. So it is a bit bucky, and I think there are a lot of things that go wrong, but ultimately, still very, very playable. We haven't really noticed anything in our general playthroughs, I don't think.
No, not at all.
The game doesn't do an amazing job at explaining itself. I don't think it's an incredibly user-friendly experience.
That's like Forza, isn't it?
It's just not... It doesn't... The game modes and stuff like that, like, it doesn't explain an awful lot. Or I suppose it does in the tutorials, but we refuse to watch them, obviously.
Of course, yeah. You're men.
So, yes, yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. And even, like, changing your guns and stuff and, like, the different battle modes and the fact that it flips between 2042 and Battlefield 3 and all this kind of stuff, like, it's not really explained. The battle modes, the different modes and stuff isn't really explained. But there's Conquest, which is the main mode. Mm. There's Hazard mode, which is like the four-player squad mode, which is quite good. Yeah. And then there's Portal, which is like a user-created ones, which is where it mixes up between the older Battlefields and the newer Battlefield. Yeah. And you can create individual games and stuff like that, so which is really interesting. And actually, last night when we played, Eddie, I thought... playing the stuff on the Portal stuff when we found some good games was our favourite experience.
Absolutely, yeah, because I mean, you could see you could make loads of edits, and we found Rush that was from Bad Company 2, wasn't it, or something? But we had it with all the latest Battlefield 2042 weapons, so we could upgrade them by being in this mode, and it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was kind of ideal for exactly what we wanted.
It's amazing. So we were like in a World War II setting, like in the snow, storming these buildings and stuff, rushing in on these areas to storm them as the attackers. Mm. And it felt like a fucking war zone, didn't it? It felt amazing. Like, it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant, brilliant experience. And I think this game, for me, has been littered with a few brilliant experiences and then a lot of like, this is quite frustrating. Like, but that's me being not very good at the game or whatever, or it's a bit overwhelming and you're like, this mode isn't quite working for us and that type of stuff. But there is brilliance in this.
Yeah.
It's just hard for us as, I know you've played a lot of Battlefield in the past, Eddie, but for myself, like as a newcomer, it's quite hard to pinpoint the game modes that I would like to enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. It's at the moment, in its current form, it's really bad at being easy, is it? Like when we logged on and we played one of the big ones and we were like, this is too mental. It's our own fault. We went to the main fucking areas every time, so we just got panned every second. But I mean, even like trying to find a different game mode, it took us like fucking 15 minutes. And we're not the stupidest of people. So, yeah, it's not very well done in that regard, but I'm hoping that's something they work on. Plus, I also know, we said, didn't we, that they're just, it would be good if there were more modes.
I totally agree, because like we found a rush mode, which will be familiar to Battlefield players, but not to me, because I haven't really played Battlefield much in the past. We found that in Portal, but it seemed to me like, why haven't they got a rush mode with the 2042 in the main bit? Yeah. Like, there's only a few like main 2042 game modes that you can pick, and it just seemed like, why aren't you fleshing this out a little bit? Because that is an amazing mode. We've really had, it's like attackers versus defenders. Attackers have a limited number of lives. Defenders have infinite lives, but there are more attackers than defenders, or it could be 2042 guns versus 1942 guns. Yeah. Like, it's just a really cool setup.
Yeah.
And we really, really enjoyed it. But why isn't that more accessible? Why isn't that just like
a
normal game mode?
It's funny, the best way to actually find a good game on it is actually the custom, which, don't get me wrong, it's great that they've involved that, you know, custom game so people can set up games and people can jump in. But it's a bit bad that they're not like staple ones that you could just click on it and go into it.
Absolutely.
Like, we found a couple and we went into it and then we went, oh, hang on, there's only fucking six people on this map. You know? Yes. And then there was one that we went on and we went, oh, fuck, this is against bots just to farm experience. So it's just a bit annoying that they just don't have... Maybe in a beautiful world, maybe the developers look at what everyone's doing and go, okay, it looks like everyone loves Rush and everyone loves doing it with modern weapons, so let's now put a staple mode on the main screen for people just to click on, and then everyone gets into that matchmaking experience.
I really hope that's what happens.
That'd be an ideal situation, but you know, I mean, don't get wrong,
because what happened,
they've been really quick already. I mean, we noticed, we don't know if it's us being, I don't know, happier the second day, but the first day we played it on day one, we thought it looked shit, didn't we?
Yeah, that when we landed Kirk, you know, the levels like in the trailer and stuff, we were, it's like a sand one where, and you got these huge like Dubai kind of,
yeah, is that, well, that's the one that they showed the tornado, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we were there and we landed, and Eddie and I were like, I said to him, are your buildings like really shit?
Really.
He's like, yeah, they're fucking awful. And you look at the floor and you're like, what the fuck are we even walking on? Like,
had it not rendered properly or something?
No, that was just how the game looked.
Yeah.
Like, we were just, the guns would look good and stuff, but it just looked kind of poor. But then we played last night, and I don't know if they patched it, but maybe it might just have been in our heads, but it looked so much better. When I played earlier on like this ice level, it looked wonderful.
Yeah.
So it seems to be like really up in the air. But that first night, we definitely were like, God, is this what a next gen game looks like? How can they have a trailer which looks like this, and then you load it up the game and it looks like that.
Yeah, but then you know, like, I like how the second day, I think it was Jack that first said it, went, is it looking a lot better on yours? And I went, I was glad you said that, because it looked, and then you went, yeah, I think mine looks a lot better. And then we were running around, it was evidently better, wasn't it, Ben?
It was,
it's the same with the bugs. They've been quick with the bugs. Like, your LMG got sorted out in 12 hours or whatever. So, I mean, I know Jack was really upset about how games are like this, how they're released and they're not okay to be released. And I guess I can see why people get really upset. But look, as long as they keep on, you know, going as fast as they've been going with adding stuff, and, you know, like, no amazing game these days, for some reason, comes out on day one is amazing. It, for some reason, takes months for a game to be incredible.
It is unfortunate that we're in this period where there's a game released and we almost have to treat this as like a game that we're going to play over the next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really unfortunate. And the problem is, like, we have a go at Call of Duty and stuff like that and everything that's attached to all of that. But what you get, if you just bought the new Call of Duty, forget about Warzone, which I think is wonderfully crafted. you say what you want about Call of Duty, but you get in there, you have all the game modes, it'll work, it'll be fine, and you know, it is what it is. Warzone, what I like about Warzone and what I think this is attempting to do in Battlefield is Warzone makes you feel like your loadout is so personal to you that picking up another gun is offensive. Yeah. That, oh, it's not my gun, therefore only I can't the last use result. It as well. Yeah, yeah, like, I don't. Oh, there's that gun over there on the floor. Oh, it's modded up and it's amazing and it's somebody else's, but it's not my gun, so I can't use that. That's what Warzone does. This has weapon upgrades and everything. What it does, though, and Eddie, this system we thought was excellent. Like, you unlock different scopes for your guns and different ammo packs and all this kind of stuff, and you can change them on the fly. You just hold down, like, was it L1 or something like that? Yeah. And then you press Y, and then you could change your scope. So your scope, you need something which is a bit more range on it. Okay, well, I'll just change it. You change it on the fly. That's quite a cool system.
You know what? So I saw it ages ago, and I thought, I love it, but it's a bit immersion breaking. But then when I got to it, you actually have to choose your three sights, don't you, Ben?
Yes, you do. Yeah. You can only carry three with you.
Which is brilliant, because when I saw it, I went, oh, that's so immersion breaking. Like, you don't carry fucking 50 sights around with you with 40 weapons. But you only have one primary, you only have one secondary, and then you only have, I think, two attachments for your magazine, your grip or something. Yeah. And then you can only have three sights. So, yeah, I fucking... And it, you know what? It changes things, because there are bits in these levels. These levels are so fucking massive that one minute you'll be getting sniped and then you need a scope. And the next minute, you're running around a corner and someone's blasting you in the face with a shotgun. So you need your red dot or maybe even iron sight. So, yeah, what an addition they've made there. Absolutely.
The mode and the hazard mode, I mean, are the only real online shooter that I've enjoyed playing. I have played Call of Duty in the past, obviously, and Halo, which I love. But the only... I liked Warzone because it was squad-based and tactical.
Yeah.
The mode in this, hazard mode, is kind of like that in terms of a four-man squad. You've got one life. You can revive that person if they're on the floor and they've only been downed or whatever. But you can bring them back if... It's kind of got that Warzone feel, and it's tactical.
They've made it directly to counter Warzone, haven't they? You know what's great about this is... They've still kept their roots. They you know, because Battlefield's all about that huge, you know, the huge map maps that we played, Ben, and you know, with the 100, is it 100 versus 100? I think it is.
128.
I was going to say, 128.
64 and 64.
128 each. And, you know, that's great fun, but we also like our little battles. And it's great because there's so many. I mean, we've got our hazard, which is basically a ripoff of Warzone, but.
It's a small Warzone because it only lasts 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, and it seems quicker to get in, but also then you've got the customization. I think they're doing a great job of keeping the different modes going, so it keeps everyone interested. I don't know, I'm being selfish by saying I just would like more modes.
I think this game needs time, and I think it's bad that we have to say that. I think there is brilliance here, but I don't get on that well with the big team battle, and I know that's what Battlefield is. And I think over time you will learn to love it, but I love the smaller tactical stuff. I love the rushes. I love the attacks versus defenders. I love that type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm loving Rush. Because as well, with Rush, because it's like, I mean, we found games that I think were like 16 or 32 on 32, I think they were. And that was great because you really felt like you were making a difference, didn't you? If you took out like a squad, like four people, you saw all your men running up behind you and you were like, holy shit, we actually did something there. But yes. The big ones can, especially when we kept on going into the main battle areas where there were just bullets flying and helicopters crashing and planes blowing up.
It's almost a bit shit because like you could be crawling around and then you'll take out one and you'll get that and then somebody will just come behind you. And it's like, well, how are you supposed... I mean, obviously people get very, very good at the game, so it's definitely a skill-based thing, and it's that I'm crap. Yeah. But, like, but you don't want to be so bad that it's just like you can't do anything. So I love the slow tactical stuff, and hopefully they'll bring more of that in. And, it's just... The thing is, we'll start playing Halo, and that will have loads of game modes.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, oh, this is really fun. And we'll be in our four-person squad and we'll do four on fours and it'll be something else.
You know, you were saying about the What was that mode that you spoke about, that where people, you know, you think the developer will see that you're playing
Portal,
and then obviously bring it to the front of
Rush,
I know that Halo does that, don't they, with their like shotty snipers and stuff. Like, there's certain playlists that they have front and center that they know people like. So is that what you, that kind of implementation that you want for Battlefield?
Absolutely. I just want more game modes with the 2042 Battlefield. Mm. Like, I know what they've done, and they've incorporated all the old Battlefields with the new mechanics and everything, but the old guns, and it's great and it's cool and stuff. But I kind of, you know, I've bought Battlefield 2042.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to play more modes with that. So it's... In summary, it's hard to recommend buying this game right now because I think it'll be a completely different game going forwards.
Yeah.
But
that's fair enough.
I really want to play more of it. Like, I've been thinking about playing it all day. Like, I've loved playing with my mates, but I played it by myself earlier. The problem with playing by yourself is that you're in a little squad. Nobody revives anyone. I don't think you can talk in a party chat on the game with your randoms.
Mm.
So you can't talk with them at the moment. So if you're not with your mates, you can't talk to your teammates. Literally nobody revives anyone, and it's shit. Mm. And so you're not really in a squad. And so you're just basically one man in this 128 man game.
Good luck. And
it just feels a bit shit. So if you've got mates to play this with, it's a really fun game. But if you haven't, I couldn't recommend it.
I wanna jump in at some point, but I'm gonna hold fire for now personally. I just don't think I'm gonna get the value out of it of where it is right now. So it sounds great and it looks fantastic. I'm not gonna deny that. And I think you need people like yourselves that are going in, making your judgments on it, giving feedback, and, you know, hopefully the developers listen, then they will iron out kinks and they will add stuff to it as time goes along. And like you said, hopefully in 6 to 12 months or something, this game will be something that, you know...
Yeah, it could be incredible. Yeah.
I think it really could. So let's see how it fares, because, our feature is to talk about the Xbox anniversary. Now, it works quite nicely off the Battlefield thing, because how Battlefield will fare... We don't know. COD and Battlefield have come out basically a week apart. And in the background, stalking them, is Halo Infinite Multiplayer, isn't it? Yeah, and today, the 15th of November, they have shadow dropped the multiplayer of Halo. Mm. So for the 20th anniversary, that was the big announcement of this whole presentation. It's been widely kind of tipped over the weekend. Will they, won't they, all that kind of stuff. And they have. Now, I think it's, to me, it seems the perfect time for them to capitalize on what have been fairly muted starts for Call of Duty and for Battlefield. Like, they've both got review bombed to shit on Metacritic, haven't they?
Mm. Yeah.
So... This is Halo's time, because Halo have done in-flight tests. They've had all this multiplayer feedback. We know it works. All they've got to do is put it out there, and should deliver.
They have,
and they've gone and done it. So we're gonna be playing a lot of that this week.
I'll play it after the podcast, mate.
Yeah, no, we've got to download like a huge fucking 19 gig patch, I think. That'll take me about 12 days. what do you think about the presentation then?
I liked it in the sense that it's a nice kind of love letter to the Xbox for the past 20 years. I'm going to watch that Power On Xbox documentary. I think that'll be quite interesting to see the behind the scenes.
Mention that.
I know there's been loads of stories that have come out lately because of the 20th anniversary coming up, and like different podcasts have had different people that worked on it, etc., and they've been telling their stories. But this documentary on it would be quite good. Do love.
So this is the 6-part documentary that's coming to. It's set to various video platforms.
It's coming to YouTube. It's coming to
YouTube and a few others, but. I just thought, like, if you got that on Netflix, that would be so huge.
Yeah, but they're not going to play ball with them, are they? Because of the whole Netflix into gaming thing.
Mm. Do you reckon that's actually a thing that would hold them back?
Yeah.
I just thought they missed a trick there, because if you had that on a front page of Netflix, that would do wonders for your console.
The thing is, you'd be surprised how many people actually view shit on YouTube these days as series. YouTube have so many different little mini-series at the moment. They've got this Will Smith one on right now, which I'm actually watching, and it's just going to like air as episodes on that, and it'll be easy. Yeah. So, that documentary looks cool as fuck. Bill Gates and The Rock. Cringe.
Yes.
Honestly, I know we've seen it before, but just the fact they put it in there, I know they were obviously going to do that, but it's just funny. But the fact that they brought The Rock back to he was doing a little mini promotion for his new movie, which was ironically on Netflix.
I quite like that movie, actually. Red Notice, it's quite good. I
haven't seen it yet. I do want to, though. It's overall, I thought it was pretty good.
So it was totally different to what I was expecting.
Yeah, were you expecting like a showcase kind of thing?
I was expecting at least maybe a 10-minute showreel of what we've got coming up over the next year. But they didn't do that at all, did they? So,
no.
So this whole presentation or this anniversary celebrate, it was purely just a love letter to themselves, to the past, to Xbox the last 20 years.
And to Halo.
And a lot to Halo.
I put on my notes about a minute before they shadow dropped Halo. I said, "There's so much fucking Halo here." I almost think if they suddenly decided like, "Oh shit, Halo's not ready. We cannot shadow drop it," I would be really surprised about what route they would have taken with this, because every single thing that happened in it, there was like always a Halo mention, and there was always
Daddy Phil was wearing his Halo Infinite t-shirt, wasn't he?
He was. Did you notice that they said about, when they said about first time they brought up Halo, they then said, they ended that little segment with, and a few surprises along the way, and it was with Master Chief in the background or something like that, and it was like, okay, this is... But over the weekend, we had a lot of rumours coming out, so I said to you, look guys, there's Nate the Hate, the leaker, has said... On Monday, Halo Infinite multiplayer is going to be launched. And he was probably one of the first people to say it. The person that I saw anyway. And it was like, oh God, this is huge. This is going to happen. And then he kind of pulled it back and said, there's been a 11th hour change and they're actually going to push it to late November. And at this point, the rumor mill was going. Now, obviously, this is the 20th anniversary, and if they weren't going to release it today on the 20th anniversary, they might as well keep it to December 8th.
Yeah.
And I think, supposedly, they're going to release a gameplay demo for the campaign, and I believe the rumor is that the error that was noticed, the bug, was that you could actually access the whole campaign if you did something. So there was a bug in it. So they recalled the 343 developers of the weekend and said, we need to hotfix this because it needs to be completed. It needs to be done, because I think Xbox and Microsoft were basically saying, no, we cannot delay this.
Mm.
You have to get this out. Like, this is the whole thing.
Maybe that's why they were all in the studio at the end. That was filmed this weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be because they would have had a contingency plan for that not getting fixed. Yep. Can you imagine the stress over this last couple of days?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With that, like, with that bug being noticed or whatever, it's like, and I think 343 saying, "Oh, right, we can't do it then," and Microsoft saying, "No, we have to do it."
Speaking of Halo, what did you think of the little tease of the TV series?
I liked it.
Yeah. They got proper armor, like, and it looked fucking cool from the little sections we saw.
You thought it looked good as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I thought it looked really cool. Where's it being showed though? I remember thinking, oh, never see that.
It's Paramount Plus. So
yeah. So what does that mean in the UK? I don't know. Yeah,
no idea. No idea for that one.
I fucking hope that they don't just like make it not viewable in the UK.
No, they will make it. The UK is one of the big reasons why Halo is as big as it is. Because we're just behind the US when it comes to fans of the game. Hmm. They won't leave us in the cold.
Did you guys notice, like, I thought when they did the mistakes were made bit and they had this quite cool like trailer of like people fucking up in Halo and some of that, and then they showed Keanu Reeves coming on at the Cyberpunk event at E3 with the big Xbox logo there in the middle.
It's one,
and I loved the fact that they went, yeah, mistakes were made. And it was like, it was so unnecessary. You've got CD Projekt Red employees going, oh, let's check out the Xbox. What?
Are they throwing shade at us?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Microsoft.
Fucking beating. All right. Well, we won't put Next Witcher on your console. Dickheads.
I'll tell you what. Something else that I didn't realise this until I looked at the list, but you know they're adding 70 more backwards compatibility games?
Yes, they did announce that, didn't they?
They have added Time Splitters 2 and Future Perfect to that list, and those two games were never playable on the 360 when they were doing backwards compatible for that.
Wow. Yeah, which is a really interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, wow, that's those games. I've got a sealed copy of Future Perfect in my cupboard right now because I've been wanting to play it for God knows how long. But it's just cool that they're still kind of like they're still adding to the library. Like they really are pushing forward with that promise of we want you to be able to play as much as you can from our entire catalogue in our history. And they're really delivering on that promise, don't you think?
You're really all in on Xbox, aren't you,
Kirk? Yeah, I know. He's really trying to get that sponsorship, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. That follow from Phil Spencer on Twitter.
Come on, Daddy. Phil.
That's your real prize here. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, they only announced a couple of things. They announced 70 backwards compatible games. They they showed the Halo TV series. They brought that back to people's kind of like mind. And there was the Halo Infinite multiplayer drop. There wasn't anything else, was there?
It was just an emotional kind of like...
I thought it was excellent.
Yeah. One more thing for me. You'll find this amusing, I feel. Do you know the section where they showed some gamers that had met other gamers that they met via playing online? Yes. That's exactly how I've met some of my best friends that live in Southampton. I've known since playing Gears of War on the 360.
So you've got other friends?
You don't have other friends. He always does this when he goes like, oh, I can't join Rocket League on Friday, I'm going for a meal. And then you see him join Rocket League and you're like, yeah, exactly. You don't have other friends.
Oh, the meal fell through.
I'm not sure that's how it goes. Anyway, the point is, I just thought that was quite a nice little moment. You fucking asshole.
Oh. If you are friends with Kirk, please write in to...
Please confirm.
Please confirm.
Yeah, do you want to do the socials? That's a nice little segue there.
Yes, so if you want to tell us that you're friends with Kirk, you can email us at podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us, which actually, because Kirk is now our social media manager, at Grumpy Gamers Pod. You can tweet Kirk.
Please tell me you're my friend.
We stream on Twitch. Please give us a follow on there, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, all one word. And we have a YouTube channel of Grumpy Gamers Podcast, separate words. And that's where you can catch our full playthrough of House of Ashes or House of Cards.
No, it's House of Ashes, come on. I was hoping you were going to say it wrong.
House of Cards.
Yeah, either or. And we've got a lot of other videos and playthroughs and our Twitch streams and stuff like that. So check it out. But I think that's quite a long one, guys. I think we best call it GG.
GG.
GG.